Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you to the Advent Light Sunday night session. I'm not sure who is hearing me in internet land, but I want to welcome you. If you are hearing me, know that we are so thankful that you decided to join us today. We're going to play a couple more songs till we get some individuals on, and then we will go into prayer. Amen and amen. This is one of my favorite songs. My favorite new song, Dependable God. Amen and amen.
Doesn't matter what goes my way, you are still good.
love.
I want to say hello, everyone. How are you doing? Thank you for joining us on this Sunday. I know you're saying, I don't know that voice. This is not a regular Sunday voice. I am Steffi. I am filling in for Sister Leola. And so it has been a pleasure being connected to the Advent Light Ministry. And so as the Word of God says, we're two or three gathered concerning the things, doing the things in his name, we know that the Holy Spirit is in the mix. I'm going to ask you if you are able to kneel. We're going to ask you to kneel. If not, just bow your heads. If you're driving, as I've often say, keep your eyes on the road so you can get there safely. And so I'm going to ask you to just take a moment to meditate on the goodness of God and just to say a silent word of prayer as I will then lead and go into an opening prayer for tonight. Amen. O kind and loving Father, our Abba, our Father who art in heaven, we bow before you today in reverence, thanking you for allowing us to see another day. Lord, you are so good. You're worthy to be praised. And we thank you that as we begin this Sunday night session, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will encamp around us on this line, will move mightily, Heavenly Father, so that we will be changed in your image. We pray for the speaker that will be coming, Lord. We pray that you will touch his lips with coal and that the message that he has is in store for us today is one that will stir our hearts and that will allow us to yearn, Lord, to come up higher, to be changed in your own image, Lord. Be with each and everyone that is on this line, that is hearing my voice, everyone that is on listening via the Netherlands, Canada, around the world. Lord, we pray a special prayer for them, Lord. We pray that you will give them your favor and your benefit, Lord. Forgive us for shortcomings, Lord, and the transgression. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as you blot our sins out, as we're pleading to you, you will not blot our names out, but you will seal us. We look forward to you coming. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will strengthen us, Lord, and keep us focused. Allow us to look up heaven bound, Lord, with everything that is going on, all the madness and the craziness that is going on in this world. We pray that you will help us, Lord, to keep our eyes focused on you, Lord. We bless your name, give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And so, once again, I want to welcome you to the Advent Light Sunday night session. I am Steffi. I will be your co-host. I'm filling in for Sister Leola. And so this, is the time that I know is allotted for your testimonies, for your praise report, and for your prayer request. Amen. And so I am going to open this line. This person is one of the faithful participants and beloved and co-host of this Advent Light Ministry, and we appreciate and we thank God for her. So I am going to open this line, 518-744, 518-744. Your line is now open.
Thank you, Sister Stephanie, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York. And
Hi, Brother Rick.
I hear your voice. Yes, yes. I recognize
Same
you.
Here.
The minute you got on, you said, we may not recognize your voice, but I did, and I just praise the Lord that you're on tonight. I was talking to Sister Leola, Sister Carla earlier today. We had just a little mini conference for a couple minutes, and
okay.
It was good to hear both of those. And God is working, doing mighty things, and just praising Him for another day.
Amen.
We had a beautiful service at our church this morning. Sister, we had a prayer breakfast. One of our members, a really good sister, spoke to us today about the steps. Actually, I'm going to bring up my notes here because I sometimes get things mixed up here, and I don't want to get this mixed up. It is just powerful. Talking about steps for us, steps for revival. And I just wanted to go over those just really quickly for everyone. There's six steps that she shared with us, and the first step that she shared with us was
so, Brother,
was ask.
Brother Rick, let me ask you this. Did you want to wait a little bit?
Yes.
I think right now you, because I would definitely, I'm always excited when I hear your voice. Bless God,
yes.
Amen. But if you want, it's just you and I now. If you want to wait until a little bit, I'll give you the signal, and then you could take it home. And, I mean, I would love for you to be one of the co-hosts. She called me and asked me, and I was like, oh, sure, I'll jump on. You know, she was going to cancel it. I was like, no. I'll jump on and, you know, and try to assist.
Yeah.
So we would love to hear your voice. You know, I'll just kind of keep your line open, and then you could just take it home. So right now you and I are the only one on. So if you just, if you want to wait until a little bit more people come on, and then you could share.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you want me to hear it before everybody else, that's fine. But, I mean, I think if you want to wait, hold on a little bit until we get a little bit more, then that would be awesome if that works for you.
Yes, no, I'd be very happy to do that, Sister Stephanie. Yes, we can wait for a few minutes. And it was just powerful. We had a beautiful time. I was making pancakes and for the church people, and you know, we had a lot of visitors today, people I had never seen before. Many of them are not Seventh-day Adventists, so I was excited that they were able to come and hear a message too. You know, I mean, it was powerful, it was short, it was to the point, and it was practical. And that's what we need to hear these days. And so, yes, I will share that when a few more people come on, Sister. That'd be awesome. I just wanted to. Prayers for my daughter Ashley and for my wife. She's doing pretty well, but she still has her struggle too, as the rest of us do. None of us have arrived yet.
Amen.
We're trusting in the Lord to bring us all the way, not part way, not halfway, not most of the way, but all the way. And,
Amen.
Faithful, and He's going to bring us there. Okay, we just have to hang on. Hang on to Him, and you know, if He has to drag us, He will drag us. Doesn't matter to Him how we get there, as long as we get there. So,
Amen.
I'm excited. I'm excited tonight because you know what? He is good. He is faithful. He will not leave us nor forsake us. And guess what? I mean, what more can we ask for? If it was up to us, we'd all be gone. But
Amen.
He is good. So.
Amen.
Yes, thank you for opening my line, Sister Stephanie, and I will be on listening and waiting for my chance to present just a short, you know,
few
minutes.
Yes,
I can present this, okay?
Absolutely. I will make sure that your line will be open for me to do that. I love when, you know what I mean, when we can share. And I told, I don't know if you heard, I was listening to this song. This is like one of my new favorite song, right? Just listened to it and heard it. It just sting my soul, right, that we have a dependable God.
Mm.
When everything else is undependable, we have a God that is dependable no matter what. And so that ministered to my soul. And I've been ministering to my soul since this week. You know, I've gone through so many things, and just the enemy just coming with his darts and his fire. But I can be insured. I know that I serve a dependable God. And that for me is hope, right?
Amen.
As you said, we're not there yet, but we know that God wants to save us. God is right there for us. We can depend on him as we can depend on people. Sometimes the car is here. Sometimes your car is not dependable. It gets cold, it don't start, right? Sometimes the home is not dependable. It starts to leak, right? And so God is a God that is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. He does not change, and he is a dependable God to his children. So I thank you so much for that. And Brother Rick, I'm going to ask you if you can go into, I know I prayed, but if you can offer up another prayer before we move on to the praise and report. We have one person that just joined us, and we're going to definitely hear from them as we want to hear from you with your wonderful testimony as well.
Amen. Okay, so let's bow our heads. Lord, again, we come before you, Lord. We are humbled by your goodness to us, your gracious, kind and long suffering. You have brought us along little by little, Lord, as we can bear. Lord, you will not put anything upon us that you will not give us power to get through, Lord. So, Father, Sister Stephanie was mentioning that the devil is out there with his fiery darts throwing them at us, trying to discourage us. But, Lord, we will not be discouraged as long as you are our God. We will cling to you, Lord. We will cling to your promises. We will depend on you for all that we need, Lord. Father, forgive our sins tonight, Lord. Father, we have not arrived. We are not perfect, Lord. Lord, we are depending on you to continue that good work that you have started in us, so that as we progress in this Christian life, Lord, in this Christian walk, that we'll get closer to you, Lord, and as we draw closer to you, Lord, the more of your character will shine through us to others, Lord, to draw them to you. So, Lord, as we draw together tonight on this line, send your Holy Spirit to guide us, to bless us, to keep our mouths, our thoughts in line with you, Lord. Father, we can get way off the path. We just need you to keep us on that straight and narrow, as you have promised you would do. Lord, we thank you for blessing us with so many good things. Lord, we, even though we complain, Father, there's no reason to complain because you have been so good. We thank you now. Be with us now as we continue this prayer line. Give us wisdom and strength and peace and hope, Lord. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Brother Rick, for that. And I will defer to you. We want to say welcome to the Advent Life Sunday night session, and you have a treat, an extra treat. I know I have an extra treat. Brother Rick will be joining and sharing some of the testimonies, and you will be hearing his voice because I'm going to be engaging him. He didn't know that yet. My name is Steffi, and I will be one of your co-hosts along with Brother Rick tonight as well as you. And so the line is now open. He has a wonderful testimony and just spirit-filled information that he is impressed to share with us. Amen?
Amen. Do you want me to do that now, Sister Stephanie, or do you want to wait?
Well, I could wait. I could wait. One person joined me. I would open their line, and then I could come back to you as well. So
okay.
That's fine?
Yeah.
All right. Got you. Okay.
Yeah.
So I am going to open this line, 804-238. 804-238. Your line is now open. you want to give a praise report, a testimony, or a prayer request at this time. Your line is now open. If you want to unmute, make sure that your line is unmuted. All right. Okay. All right, so we'll wait and situate. So I'll just kind of start off by just sharing my encounter. Yesterday I went to church, and it was, a beautiful the way how they did it, it was like I think four different individuals came up and kind of shared their testimony about their journey with God. Sister Continelli had shared about her experience previously with her family members. I heard Brother Rick stated earlier today that he went to church and seeing all of these things that are happening, around him, and people were hungry and thirsting after the righteousness, after, our salvation. And so yesterday I heard the testimony, some powerful testimony of individuals who have been struggling, and God had taken them out of a gang, out of, homosexuality and a lifestyle of gang and just hardship, right? And had brought them to where they are now, and they attest that had it not been for God, that dependable God that we talked about, they would not have been here. And so one of the speaker, they came from Heartland. Many of them came from Heartland. And one of the speaker talked about being in a spiritual warfare, right? And I encountered that yesterday in the church. Being in a spiritual warfare and recognize that we are in a spiritual warfare, and hence the battle does not belong to you or me. And so there was a lady that I know. I have met her. I think I've met her since, I want to say early November, thereabout, or about October, thereabout, probably about October, November, I saw her at the church that I go to now, right up the street from me. And she, she came and she was talking. Initially I thought that she was of Jamaican descent, but later found out that she was not. She was from another island that has similar, dialect. And, she was talking and everything, and, as if to say she knew me. And I was like, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, okay, we're sisters in Christ. And so I saw her yesterday. I saw her last week. And, I've been seeing her, hey, how you doing, da-da-da, little things and stuff like that. And she had asked me last week if I was interested in a CPR class. And I was like, yeah, sure. I was like, I could text you my information. I asked her, when was it going to be? She said she didn't know. She was gathering people. She needed, she needed a certain amount of people so that she'll have it. She'll be able to bring somebody in. So I said, well, okay, no problem. I'll text you my information. She said, well, don't text me. I'm going to get a sheet of paper for you to sign up. So she went, left to go get the paper. I saw her go get the paper. But I think on her way coming back, not that I think, seemed like, on her way coming back, she was talking to an elder. She had the paper in her hand, and so I don't know if she got distracted or whatever. So anyway, she never came back that Sabbath for me, and then I left. I finished up what I needed to do, had lunch there, and I left to come home to do the chat and chew line that we're studying on prayer. And so I saw her yesterday in the church, in the sanctuary. She turned back. And she, she waved at me and said, Happy Sabbath. I was like, I smiled at her and said, Happy Sabbath. And so, funny enough, one of the men was talking about spiritual warfare, right? How he went into home and the people were acting strange and saying things and levitating and everything. And he reminded, so that was God that was preparing me, right? He reminded, he said, the devil comes even into the church, and we always need to be reminded and remember that we are not fighting a flesh and blood warfare. We are in a constant battle with demons and spirits and you know principalities and in spirits in dark places. And so when I went in after he finished, I went into the fellowship hall, and I saw the young lady, and I said to her, you know, I said, "Hey, happy Sabbath," just like this. I said, "Hey, happy Sabbath." I said, "You didn't come back to me, you know, for me to sign on the paper." And this was a response to me, and I was so shocked. She said, "You expect too much from me." And I was like, "Whoa." I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "You told me, you know, you were going to go get the paper for me to sign on." And then she walked away, right? She kind of ignored me and walked away. And I said, "Okay, Spirit of God." I walked back, walked away, and I went into the line. She was loud. It was just ridiculous. If it was not the Sabbath, I think I would have been embarrassed. I would have been, you know what I mean? I would have been kind of offended and embarrassed, but I was like, okay, you know, hey. And so I walked to the line, and the line, you know, was like, you know, it was a lot of people there because, you know, they had a lot of guests. A lot of people came to see the speakers. They had a lot of Heartland guests. And so the line was really long. So an elder said to me, "This is where the line stops," right? So I started, you know, picked up on the line, and then people started to cut into the line. When I say line, for the fellowship meal, they had to line up so you could go and get your meal and take it to your seat. And so we were in the line. You know, the line, as I said, was really long. And then long after that, she came back. She came through the side door, and she asked a question, but she asked the question out loud. She didn't ask it to any one person. And she said, the same lady that says that made that encounter and made that statement. And so she came back through the side door, and she said, "The line is not moving. Spirit of God said to me, don't say anything." So I smiled at her, right? I smiled at her. I said nothing, but I smiled at her, looked her right in her face, and smiled at her. And she grit her teeth, and on her teeth, it looked black, but it was really like, I think they had served some kale, so it was like the kale that was on her mouth, on her teeth, a big block of kale, but it was black. And in anger, she said, "You need to stop," just like that, right? And so in recognizing that this is a conflicting spirit, this is not the Spirit of God, I prayed, and I was like, "God, help me, you know, I ask you to intervene." So I was there. I didn't see her after that, and then I came home, and I sent her, before the sun set, I sent her one of the messages that I normally sent on, and this song was playing, A Dependable God, and the song stated that, you know, and in my message, I said, you know, I'm not sure, you know, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your experience is, know that we serve an dependable God, right, and he can help us through. And so after I did that, and, you know, we were finishing up on our line, the Spirit of God said to me, "Send this." So I sent her the message saying, you know, "Happy Sabbath. How did you pray? All is well." I said, you know, "I'm not sure what is going on." I said, you know, "Today you seemed a little perturbed. I asked you something and you responded this way, and it was very strange for me. And so, you know, I said that, you know, I'm not sure what's going on with you, but I pray that God will give you peace and comfort, you know, as you're going through, you know, through the Sabbath, on this holy Sabbath day." And so after I sent that, she called back. She called me. I don't know if Sister Tamiko was able to hear, but she had called me. We were finishing up our line. And I answered, and she was like, you know, I said, "Hello, how are you doing? Happy Sabbath." And she just was like, you know, "The other day we were having a conversation, and, you know, and your opinion was very common and trite, and, you know, I had an issue with that." And I said to her, "Really?" I said, "I would have loved for you to have said something to me. Let me tell you, brethren, this conversation that I had with her happened back on November 12th. So I said, and she's, I said, but you've seen me. I said, I ask you because you came and asked me about the CPR class and you were going to let me sign up, but you never came back, and I told you that. And that was your response to me, which was very strange as to, you know, I expect too much from you. I didn't know what that was about. And I said, here you are where you have had me up in your heart for that long. And I said to her, you know, I'm so sorry that you were offended. I said, however, I stand by what I said because what I gave you was biblical, right? And so here I am, did not know, and you know what I mean, that this woman had aught with me. But the Spirit of God had led me to say, I need you to write this. And then so in the process of me and her talking, the phone went dead. I'm not going to assume that she hung up on me. I'm just going to say the phone went dead. So I called her back a couple of times. She didn't respond. The phone went straight to voicemail. So it could have been that the phone went dead. And I sent her another text message. And I said, you know, I pray. I was talking to you. We got disconnected. I'm not sure if the phone hung up or, you know, the phone went dead. But clearly you have some art with me. So please feel free, you know, to call me. And you know, and let us talk, you know, so that we can resolve. And it was about something that she shared that biblically she wanted me to support what her decision was that was not supported by scripture. And I was kind, I was loving to her, and I told her, you know, I said, with grace and mercy, I could see one time, but over and over and over and over again, not for me. And so to see that someone, and she has gone to the rostrum. She's actually, if I'm not mistaken, was on the rostrum twice after this, praying, interceding on behalf of people. And clearly she had aught with me for something that she thought that I said that she did not like, that she did not like my stance on what I share, even though two other women were sitting there and actually was a little bit more definite. I gave grace, right? So I said, okay, yeah, I'll see one time. The other individuals are like, no, I'm not even giving you one time. And so this was what caused the art. So I'm asking you to pray for this individual. Her initial is DR. And pray that God will continue to strengthen and use me. And I thank God that he gave me eye salve for me to see that I was dealing with not a flesh and blood type of incident, but a spiritual warfare, amen? And so we ought to make sure that when we go, as I'm studying and we're studying the book of prayer, that when we go, we are showing Christ. But sometimes in showing Christ, it becomes a conflict because darkness and light cannot intermingle, amen? And so that is my prayer request. And I thank God, my testimony that I thank God that God had brightened my lips and gave me eye salve to see that this was not a human struggle that she was doing. And I saw certain things as I now went back where she was really being really, you know, mean to me, but I didn't take it as that. I really ignored it, you know, and just asked the Holy Spirit to lead me in this situation or just throughout any situation that I come in contact with. So I know I took a little long time, and so I thank you so much for that. Continue to pray for me. We have quite a few. I am Steffi. I know my voice is strange for you on Sunday. We have Brother Rick that will be helping me out today. I see a couple of hands, and so I'm going to go to those hands, 272770, for you to give your praise report, your testimony, and your prayer request. Then I'm going to come to the other hand, and then we will hear from Brother Rick. Amen?
Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Stephanie. Praise God. It's Sister Tymiko from Pennsylvania. And I'm just so grateful to be here this evening. I give the Lord all praise and honor and glory for bringing me through another week safely, my daughter and myself, safe travel and mercies to and fro. So I just give him all honor, and I'm just so grateful to have the Lord on our side. I'm so grateful that he takes good care of us, and he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He loves us all with an everlasting love, and I'm so sorry that you had to go through that, my precious sister, but we will definitely keep you in prayer, Sister Stephanie, and I have a Bible verse I'd like to read.
Okay, go ahead and read the Bible verse.
Amen. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forward, even forevermore. Amen. So I just wanted to share that. I do have a song. I don't know if I have time to sing the song.
Okay, so we're going to come back to the song, Sister Leo. Sister Tamika, let me open the line, and then we'll come back to the song at in another part of the program, okay?
Okay, sweetheart. Thank you so much. God bless you, and please keep my family and everyone lifted up in prayer. I greatly appreciate it. Love you.
All right, will do. Thank you so much, all right?
Okay, amen.
All right, so I'm going to open this line for a praise report and a testimony, 857-505. Your line is now open.
Sister Stephanie, can you come back to me, please?
All right, I will do. Okay, all right. All right, so Brother Rick, I'm going to open your line now, 518-744. Your line is now open for that awesome testimony that you have for us today.
Okay, thank you, Sister Stephanie. Yes, I was telling Sister Stephanie earlier that I went to a prayer breakfast this morning at our church, and we had one of our dear sisters present a message today for us. It was on revival, and I just wanted to share a few of the points that she had made. It was very powerful, and practical messages are what we need to hear these days, and this is a practical message, and so I hope that I can do it justice, but it was powerful. As I was listening, I was thinking, luckily I wrote it all down on my phone. Well, I put the list of 6 points that she had made on my phone, otherwise I would have forgotten them by now. So I just wanted to go into these, and she was talking about personal revival. You know, God is seeking to revive us. We are waiting for the church to be revived as a whole. That will never happen. And God is seeking to revive each one of us personally, and then when that happens, then there is a mighty chance that we can have a corporate revival. But without revival in each one of our lives, there can be no corporate revival either. So let's I'll just go through these quickly. I don't want to take a lot of time. We do have Brother Akeem later on, and we don't want to go too long. So the first point that we have here is to ask. And, you know, God is, he told us to ask. Ask and you shall receive. You know, and so there's Luke 11:13. Says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So he tells us to ask for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that we need on this earth. Jesus left. He said, I will give you another comforter. He will come. He will convict you of sin and of truth. So we ask for the Holy Spirit. We ask, we will receive. So that's our second point, is receiving. First, we ask because God has called us to ask. Second, we receive by faith the Holy Spirit. Okay? As we ask, we pray in faith, knowing that God will give good gifts to his children. He is more willing to give good gifts to us than we are to our own children. So as we ask, In faith, we will receive in faith also the gift of the Holy Spirit. After we receive the Holy Spirit, what must we do then? We must surrender. You know, because we have asked and because we have received, doesn't mean that we are perfect. It means that God is willing to give us these gifts, but we must surrender at that point. And each one of us has different areas maybe that we need to surrender. We all have different areas in our lives that maybe we have not surrendered completely to God, and He is calling us to surrender those. As the Holy Spirit comes upon us, the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin and of righteousness. grasping the gift, how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, Ephesians 3:18. So we can't even fathom God's love towards us. So as we surrender to Him, He will show us those areas that need to be changed in our lives. And then as He does that, we must give those things to Him. We must practice what we have heard from the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit convicts me that I am saying maybe, okay, I work in a construction site. I hear foul language. If I am repeating those things, He can come to me and convict me and say, hey, you know what? You need to give that over to me. I will help you clean up your language. I want you to be a witness to these young men. I don't want you to be joining in with them. And, you know, there's so many things that go on. I'm just using this as an example. So you must practice what the Holy Spirit has showed us, has taught us. Okay. After the practicing, okay, obedience. Okay, we must obey all these things, you know, as we study the scriptures, as the Holy Spirit brings these things to us. We must obey the leadings and the guidings of God's Holy Spirit. He'll convict us of all things that are wrong in their life. Not all at once, thank the Lord, that He doesn't do it all at once. It would crush us. But, you know, when we... And we ask Him, He will do that. Now, Jesus says in this obeying part, this is hard for us. We are in rebellion naturally as humans, as fallen humans. Satan was the father of rebellion, and that rebellious spirit is in each one of us. Each one of you can look back in your lives and see where you have rebelled against maybe your parents, authority, teachers, who knows what it was, but God wants to remove that rebellious spirit from us, okay? Jesus says here in John 15:4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So God is looking for that fruit in our lives, and He has given us the example of Jesus living on this earth, and then He's given us the Holy Spirit. Help us to abide in Him, and then He will abide in us, live through us, be Him and not us. And lastly, point number six is to share. As these things are happening in our lives, brothers and sisters, we must share these things with those around us. We have hundreds, thousands, millions, billions of people on this earth that are dying because they don't know Jesus, okay? So let us take the things that we do, take the things that we have learned, take the things that we know, and share that with our brothers and sisters around us, maybe it's our neighbors, co-workers, anybody that we come in contact with. We must share these things with them. Now, Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. So this is a command, ask, seek, knock, and then there's the promise. If we ask, it will be given to us. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, it will be opened to us. So not only does God command us, but then He promises us what will happen when we do these things. So He is such a loving God. He would never ask us to do anything that He does not give us power for. But then when He does, when we do ask, when we do obey Him, He rewards us for it. Even though we may not deserve it, He says, you know what, if you're faithful in doing these things, if you're faithful in the least of these things, you'll be faithful in greater things later on. So let's practice these steps as we continue on in our Christian life. As Stephanie is mentioning, we are not fighting an earthly battle. These things are spiritual. And as she was talking about her her encounter with this woman, wow, this is getting down to a serious time. Satan is trying to derail us. He is trying to get us off path. He is trying to get us angry and upset, and all these things. So we will not be keeping our eyes on Christ. And if we can realize that, as Sister Stephanie mentioned, she realized that and she prayed about it. So let's pray not only for our brothers and sisters around us, but pray that we will stay connected. We will stay grounded. We will stay connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, He will work in us, He will live in us, and He will shine out of us. It won't be us, it will be Him. If us shining out is not worth shining, so let's share these steps. Ask, receive, surrender, practice, obey, and then share. Okay, so just wanted to share those few points with all of my brothers and sisters. God is working mightily in our behalf, so let us not disappoint Him. Let us be faithful and do what He's called us to do. Thank you, Sister Stephanie. I will close there, and then we can have time for more people to share if there are more people waiting.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Rick, for giving us those six tenets, those points. Ask, believing that He will answer. Amen. Amen. Those were powerful
Amen.
Tips that you shared with us, and I pray that they were writing it down as we were, you know, writing in our phones to make sure that we can go back and be reminded and review all of those tips and tenets that you have given us that came from the Word of God. Thank you again, Brother Rick. Let's see. I am going to open 985-232. Your line is now open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. It's Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana.
Good evening, Sister Brenda.
Just want to thank God for watching over us last night and waking us up morning. I got a script I would like to read. A devotion prayer, I mean. Working my way through it. Oh, come on. It happens all the time. I'm going to ask Brother John go first because I'm trying to get to it. Amen.
Yeah, my wife, this is Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. My wife said she'll be right back getting the scripture together. I just want to thank God for many blessings and sheltering us from the storms and the many ups and downs and everything just being with us. And as always, I want to learn from yesterday, live for today, and definitely hope for tomorrow. That's the way I'm living my life. So, and I know there's going to be hope for tomorrow because there is a God up above to take care of us, watch over us, and like us to give effort to help those who help themselves. And, we give effort and He helps us go the rest of the way. Oh, He'd just be there anyway. So no matter what we go through, He's always there to shine a light on us. Anyway. So here goes my wife. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother John.
Amen. I just want to read this devotion prayer. Lord, as we remember our baptism, we do so with gratitude for the Holy Spirit. that you freely poured out on us. As we baptize others, we ask that you would fill us and you with your Spirit. Let us not lose sight of where our power comes from, so that the devil can't secure it. Excuse me, y'all. Let us not lose sight of where our power comes from so that we may live by your power each day to glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank the Lord for being so good and blessing us, and ask for prayer for my family, my Advent Life family, and all the brothers and sisters on and off around the world that's online, all those that's sick, homeless, and wherever they may be, in Bahrain. Ask God to touch them, give them a double portion of his healing power, blessing, and Sister Power in Jamaica, continue her mission she on, and bless her as she go on and take care of what she have to do, because I know she's strong and she loves doing what she do for God. Amen. So
amen.
I just thank God for every one of us and keep all of us, and just so we can study his word and bless all Advent Life members. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Brenda and Brother John, for that scripture and for that testimony as well. Amen and amen. All right, I'm going to open this line, 423-635, 423-635. Your line is now open.
Yes, hi, good evening, Sister Stephanie. This is Carla from Tennessee. I'm just thanking the Lord for his mercy, his love. I am on the road. I will probably need my line to be open. I'm just arrived at my destination, so I need to go in.
All right, no problem. No problem.
Yeah. But
right,
I will
no
continue
problem.
Listening and listening, and if I can speak, I'll press one. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. All right, not a problem. All right? Okay, so Brother Rick, I'm going to have you on deck for you to go give us prayer. But before we do that, I am going to open Sister Tymiko's line so that she can grace us with the song. And then I will try to go back to Brother Eli. I know he asked me to come back to him. I will go back to him after the song, and then we will go into prayer. I am trying to see if Brother Akeem is on. Okay. All right. So we will do that. And so we'll do two seasons of prayer. Brother Rick, I'll ask you to do one, and then I'll do one as well, because I know you had asked for prayers for your family as well. Amen. All right. 272-770. You can give us that song now. 272-770.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Stephanie, for opening up my line again. Praise God, Sister Tymiko. Amen. I have
amen.
The song Forward. Amen. I have the song Forward, Your Witnesses, taken from Luke chapter 16, verse 16 in the Bible. And I'll be singing. Amen. Firm and determined in this time of the end. Prepared our God's servants for goodness to descend. The devil has fought and opposed them. With Jehovah they take their stand against him. Stand forward, you witnesses, ever strong of heart. Rejoice that in God's word you too may have a part. Tell far and wide God's new order is near. And at soon his rich blessings will be here. Servants of Jah, do not seek the life of ease. The world and its rulers, they do not try to please. Unspotted at all times remaining, our integrity we will keep maintaining. Stand forward, you witnesses, ever strong of heart. Rejoice that in God's word you too may have a part. Go down far and wide, God's new order is near, and let his rich blessings will be here. God and his kingdom have been marked and pushed aside. His great name is slandered, his holiness denied. Let's share in our sanctification and declare it to every tribe and nation. Stand forward, you witnesses, ever strong of heart. Rejoice that in God's word you too may have a part. Go tell far and wide, God's new order is near, and that soon his rich blessings will be here. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Stephanie. God bless
you all. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Sister Tamiko, for blessing us with that song. Amen and amen. All right. Let me see. Brother Eli is ready for his testimony as we're getting ready to go into prayer. 857-505.
Amen. Hello, Sister Stephanie. Hello, my beloved brothers and sisters.
Hi,
how are you, beloved? God is good. He's worthy to be praised. We did fasting, Sister Stephanie. Me and my mom did a fasting 6 to 6. We did 6 a.m. And 6 p.m. I like to thank God because he is
Amen.
Good. He's worthy to be praised. And Sister Stephanie, may God bless you, my dear sister.
Amen.
Sister
Amen.
Stephanie, keep the faith in the Lord because he is good. He's worthy
Amen.
To be praised. And my beloved sister, I would like to thank you for singing that song because that song is very powerful. May God bless you and your family. May God bless your mother, your beloved mother, and may God bless your daughter and son too. Amen.
Thank you so much, Brother Eli, for that encouragement. And we are so glad that you were able to fast. The Word of God says that there are certain things that we can only overcome and gain victory over it through what? Fasting and praying. And so we thank God that he gave you and mom the strength to be able to do that as well. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Rick that will lead us into the first season of prayer. I want to share something that Sister Carla wrote up on the board. It's taken from Last Day Events, and it says, the life of Christ was marked with respect and love for his mother. I hear Brother Eli talking about his mother, doing things with the mother. The mother has a special role, right? Though the father is to be the head of the family, mothers have a very special role, especially mothers of God, all right? Mary believed in her heart that the holy child born of her was the long-promised Messiah, yet she dared not express her faith. Throughout his life on earth, she was a partaker in his sufferings. She witnessed with sorrow the trials brought upon him in his childhood and youth. By her vindication of what she knew to be right in his conduct, she herself was brought into trying positions. She looked upon the association of the home and the mother's tender watch care over her children as of vital importance in the formation of character. The sons and daughters of Joseph knew this, and by appealing to her anxiety, they tried to correct the practices of Jesus according to their standard. But as I'm thinking about this, I remember, what did he tell his mother and father? I am about what? I'm here to do my what? My father's business. And so I thank God for godly mothers. I thank God for the fact that he gives the godly mothers wisdom to be able to help tend to the household and rear the children in the admonition of God. And so I thank you so much for this excerpt, Sister Carla, from Last Day Events. And with that being said, we are going to now turn it over to one of our manservant, Brother Rick, that will lead us in the first season of prayer. And we're going to ask you to write these things down, these prayer requests, in your book so that when you go into your private closet, you're able to petition these names. Brother Rick is praying for, if you missed it, you weren't on time, he's praying for his mom. He's praying for his wife and his daughter, Ashley. And pray that God will continue to strengthen him, as well. Sister Tamika is praying for her family, thanking God for his grace and his mercies. Brother Eli is praying for mothers. I want to pray for Sister Powell. Sister Brenda is praying for her family and Sister Powell as well. I know she was talking about a vein that was, protruding in her leg. She has been working so hard, and she stood on it for a long time. So we pray healing. For that, by the stripe, by Jesus' stripe, we know we have healing, so we want to lift that up. I also want to pray for safe traveling mercies for her. She left early this morning from Kingston to go to Guy's Hill, which is in part of the next, another part of the country in Jamaica. And so I pray, that all things will be done in decency and in order. She will be able to get safe traveling mercies, and they'll be able to get a lot accomplish in finishing up this home for the Williams. Amen. And just continue to lift me up, as well as pray that God will give us the eye salve and will go before us, so that we will be able to see the spiritual battles that we're in. We will be able to see the demons and be able to cast it out by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So I'm going to open Brother Rick's line, so that he will be able to lead us in the first season of prayer. All right. 518-774, your line is now open.
All right. Thank you, Sister Stephanie. Let's bow our heads, brothers and sisters. It is a solemn time when we pray, and sometimes we don't realize how powerful prayer is. So let us align our hearts with our Lord and Savior right now. Dear Father, we come before you again, Lord. If you were human, you would be tired of hearing us ask. Lord, you said, ask and we will receive. Seek and we will find. Knock and we will be opened unto us. Lord, we are asking tonight, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We are seeking you, Lord God, for your Spirit to live in us, to change us from the inside out. Lord, we need that change. We need to be revived. We need to be reformed, Lord. And only you can do that. You are mighty. You are powerful. You are good. And it's better. I always say every time we get down, you are worthy to be praised, Lord. And thank you for Brother Eli and his testimonies and his love for his mom, and you guys lifting her up, Lord, please be with him, Lord. Father, we're just grateful that we could each one of us be on this line together. Lord, lifting you up, praising you, learning from our brothers and sisters, too. We hear testimony, Sister Stephanie, and the testimony of the spiritual battle that is going on in her life, Lord, with this woman, Lord, that she is in contact with. Lord, we just pray for this woman, Lord, that you would be able to reach her, Lord, that you would reach down and touch her, Lord, and that you would seek you, turn to you for the help that you need, Lord, that she will not be overcome by the enemy. Father, we know the devil is going about as a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour, Lord, and he is back trying to devour us. Oh, Lord, send your holy angels to put a hedge of protection around each person on this line tonight, Lord, so the devil will not be able to devour us. You will keep him away, Lord. You will give us strength to overcome those temptations, those fiery darts. You said they would be quenched by the power of your Spirit, Lord. So that's what we are asking for tonight. Lord, we just are grateful for Brother John, Sister Brenda, who called in, Lord, and they're always praising you. And, Lord, they always have a testimony. Brother John is always has a testimony. Sister Brenda also, Lord, we just do lift them up to you. Please bless them and their family, their children, their grandchildren, Lord, their whole family, Lord. And we're grateful that we heard from Sister Carla. She's not able to speak. Lord, she is always faithful in opening, getting the prayer line set up, Lord. She has done a mighty work by just keeping these lines open for us, Lord. We're just grateful for her. We pray that you'd be with her family, Lord, her daughter, her son, Lord, her ministry there in Tennessee, Lord, as she's working her job that she is working at. She is ministering to others. Be with her, guide her, bless her. Father, I just praise you for Sister Tamiku. She is always calling in. Lord, it's always exciting when she calls in because she always has a song. She's lifting you up in song, Lord, and it just brightens our spirits also. We're just grateful for her willingness to come on, to praise you, to sing praises to you, Lord. And also, Lord, she's always sending out encouraging notes and texts, Lord. And I just do thank you that she is doing these things, Lord, because it is encouraging just knowing that there is somebody out there that is sharing in this battle that we are all in, Lord. And we're just grateful for Sister Tamiko. Please bless her family, Lord, her children, her whole family, Lord. I just lift them up to you, Father. And Sister Stephanie, who was on tonight hosting, Lord, she is on Thursday nights usually, but Lord, we're just grateful we could hear her tonight. Lord, please be with her and her family, Lord. She's faithfully serving you. Lord, we just do pray for your spirit to be upon her in a mighty way and all of her family too, Lord. She had mentioned Sister Powell in Jamaica. Lord, we just pray that you'll give her help and strength, Lord. Give her perseverance and all that she needs, Lord, to do the work that you have set before her. She is far away, Lord. We cannot see her, but we have heard from her from time to time, Lord, and we just are blessed by that, Lord. Please help us to be faithful in doing our part and helping out also, Lord. You have put it upon our hearts to help out at times, Lord, and Father, continue. You put upon our hearts the things that you need us to do, that you want us to do, Lord, that bring honor and glory to your name. Father, we just do lift up all of the folks on the prayer line, each person that maybe did not speak tonight, Lord, but that is listening. We want to lift them up and their families, Lord. We just do praise you that they can be on. And, Lord, may they be blessed by what they hear, and may they share that with others, dear Lord. And Father, tonight I want to lift up my family, my wife, my daughter Ashley, my mom, my whole family, Lord. Children, grandchildren, all those, Lord. We just pray for your spirit to be working upon their hearts in a mighty way, convicting them of your goodness to them, Lord, so that they will turn to you with their whole heart, Lord. Each one of us, Lord, we pray that we would be convicted. Lord, we need to be revived. We need you to revive us and then reform us, Lord. Forgive our sins, dear Father. There are many, Lord. They have risen up. They have separated us from you. And, Lord, we just pray for your forgiveness of those sins, that we would be restored to a relationship with you, Lord. That would be powerful, Lord. We just need to feel your love in our hearts, dear Lord. And, Father, if we don't come to you, if we don't ask, if we don't receive, Lord, we won't feel that, Lord. So we are asking, Lord, and by faith we know that we will receive because you have promised, Lord, and you are not a man that you can lie. You are mighty God. We thank you. Father, guide us as we will be listening to Brother Akeem shortly. Would you pray for him and his Sister family, Lord. I just want to lift up Brother Yudi, Sister Melissa, and their family, Lord. And, Lord, many others that we haven't heard from, Brother Bernard. I think it's Brother Moses. So many folks that we haven't heard from in a while, Lord. And just lift each one of them up to you, Lord God. Hold them in the palm of your hand. Guide them, protect them, keep them from the enemy, dear Lord. And thank you. Praise you, dear Father. Jesus, blessed and holy name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, we linger just a tad bit longer. We touch and agree with the prayers that have gone up, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for your man servant, Brother Rick. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will give him a double portion of your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father. Whatever his heart desire, according to your will, we ask you to bless him. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to pour out your storeroom, Lord, and allow his store basket never to go empty. Put an edge of protection around him, Lord, and continue, Heavenly Father, to be able to use him, expand his territory, but keep evil and temptation away from him, Lord, Heavenly Father. We place his daughter at your feet, Ashley, his mom, his dad, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, for the protection and for the fact that you have allowed all things to work together for their good, Lord. Be with his wife even right now, Lord. We ask you all of these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Brother Rick, for your service and your faithfulness. Amen and amen. All right, so we want to welcome you to the Sister Sunday, Advent Life Sunday session. We are awaiting for Brother Akeem. I'm trying to figure out. I'm looking for his. All right, okay. All right. I was looking for his number. I don't see quite yet. Brother Rick, I'm not sure if you have a little sermonette prepared just to have a ram and a ticket. I don't see him on as yet. I'm sending Sister Leola a message. Let me see. I would need to open your line, right? And Brother Rick? Brother Rick?
Yes, Sister Stephanie. Yes.
I'm just kind of putting you on deck. If I'm not seeing him, to see if you have a little sermonette that you would want to kind of pull out. I'm looking for his number on the dashboard. I haven't seen him quite yet, and so we
okay,
were kind of
actually. yes.
I know you're on the spot, but I mean. So
yeah,
I'm gonna mute your line and just.
Something.
All right, so I'm going to mute your line so you could kind of absorb that a minute, and then I probably just, let me see. Yeah, I don't see Brother Akeem quite yet, right? Usually it's, what, the 8:15 mark that he comes on. Let's see here. All right, so I'm going to open this line, 904-661. Your line is now open. Hello? All right, I guess this is not it. All right. All right, that's not it. All right, so I think what I'm going to do, I am going to play a song and just reach out to Sister Leola to kind of see what time is he coming on, and then I'll probably give Brother Rick a little bit more time. So, all right. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity again where we can just tabernacle in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the speaker that you are going to allow to come and the words that he's going to utter into our ears, Heavenly Father. We pray that you will manifest yourself in our lives, Lord. We pray that we'll just encamp around us. Lord, we pray that you will convert our hearts so that we can become more like you. We thank you, Lord, for the patience that you're developing in us. We thank you, Lord, for the crucible and the trials and the disappointment. We know that you hear our prayer, as Brother Rick shared, that all we have to do is ask, surrender, believing that when we ask you for forgiveness, you will forgive us. Believing that when we ask of things in your name, according to your will, you will grant it to us. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness towards us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for touching our lips so that even when someone appears to rub us the wrong way, we can recognize that we are not fighting with that person in the flesh, but we're fighting a spiritual warfare. So continue, Lord, to shield us and guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All righty. We want to say welcome to the Advent Light Sunday session. I am waiting to see the speaker. I haven't seen him as yet. And so I am going to defer again to our elder Rick, 518-774, to see if he has anything, a scripture or two, as I'm not seeing Brother Akeem at this time. All right. Let's see. 518-774.
Yeah, thank you, Sister Stephanie. Let me get to my notes here. I was just in making a cup of tea for my wife, and I just want to share a couple thoughts with everyone here.
Yes, please.
This is about Job. You know, we are living in a world, and there are times when things start getting us down. We don't feel like praising God. There are times we pay too much attention to how we feel. You know, we may be sleepy, we may be tired, we may be frustrated. As Sister Stephanie mentioned some of these things earlier, you know, we look at what's going around us, it's sort of chaos, and you know, if we pay attention to how we feel, we don't have. We can't see a reason to praise God. So we have to be careful that we are not paying so much attention to how we feel, but we have to take God at his word. We have to realize we have to go into our mind and not just disconnect ourselves from those feelings and say, you know what, God has told me that he will never leave me nor forsake me, so I have to trust in that. I have to believe in that. Everything in this world is a mess. We live in a fallen world. We complain about things all the time, which we shouldn't because God has been so good to us. But it's, you know, when things are going good, it's easy to praise God. But, you know, there are days when everything seems to go right. We're just on a high and, oh, we're just praising God. But then maybe the next day, everything falls apart and it gets really hard. And I think of Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. If we can do that, we can rejoice in all things, as Paul learned to do. We can pray when anything comes up, if we can pray about it, and then give thanks. We are doing the will of God, and Christ Jesus will be with us. Holy Spirit will be with us, and we will have nothing to complain about, we will have nothing to worry about. It reminds me of the story of Job, who it says in Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, there was a man in the land of Uz. His name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, the one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had great substance, which was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. And as you read that, you're thinking, wow, he had a lot to praise God for. And he did. And he did praise God. Interesting point here. Job says later on that he turned his eyes from evil. God had been good to him. And when temptation came to him, he turned his eyes away from the temptation, from the evil, and focused on the Lord. And God blessed him. And I don't know how much time I have, Sister Stephanie. I don't want to go into this too deeply if Brother Akeem is coming on.
No. You could go deep because he's not on, so I think you will be the speaker. So that's fine. That's fine.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go into this a little further then. Okay. So here was this man who was upright. It says that he was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He hated evil because he loved God, okay? He had great substance because God had blessed him because he was faithful to God, okay? Well, one day, here we read in Job chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, and the sons of God had come to meet together, and Satan appeared in the midst of them, and the Lord said unto Satan, where did you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto him, said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Now here God is bragging about Job, okay? Now, I can't imagine a higher honor than God bragging about me to Satan, say, hey, look at this guy. He is perfectly upright, and he fears me, and he hates evil. And that's what God was saying about Job, okay? And Satan answered God and said, does Job fear you for nothing? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? And you have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But if you put forth your hand and touch all that he has, he will curse you to your face. So Job is telling God, no wonder Job fears you and, you know, does all this stuff, because put a hedge around him. You haven't let me do anything to him. You're blessing him. You're keeping him. And but you know what? If you let me add him, if you let me take away all the stuff that he has, he's going to curse you to your face, God. Well, God said to Satan, well, okay, you can do whatever you want to do to the substance, okay, but don't touch him. Well, as we continue on in chapter 1 of Job, there came a messenger unto Job and said, your oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans, a group of people that were raiders, fell upon them and took them away, yes, and they have killed all the servants to the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell him. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yes, and slain the servants to the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, fell upon the young man, and they were dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell you. Then Job arose and tore his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I in out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Wow, what a story, brothers and sisters. All these things happened to Job in just a few minutes of time. He lost all of his wealth. And he lost his, I believe he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. They were all killed when the house fell down. Satan caused a great wind to call for the house to strike the house, and it fell down and killed all of Job's children. Job, I can't imagine what he was feeling at that time. But brothers and sisters, he did not depend upon his feelings. He knew that God was faithful. He knew that God was his Savior. God was his King. And he's blessed. He said, Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job did not sin nor charge God foolishly in all of this. And
amen.
Wow.
Amen.
What a story.
Amen.
What a story, you know. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Rick, for being the ram of the ticket. I just saw Brother, I think this is Brother Akeem's hand. So I thank you so much for that. I'm going to give you a minute to talk, because I know you're coming to your end, and then I will open up the line for Brother Akeem, if that's okay.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Sister Stephanie. Yeah, we want to get to Brother Akeem now. I just want to encourage my brothers and sisters. Let's do as Job did. Let's not depend upon feelings. Let's go by what the Word of God has pointed out to us. He's given us many promises, and he said he will never leave us nor forsake us. Let us remember that when things get hard, when things are not going our way, when things seem to be stacked against us. Let us remember that God is good, and this life is just a short testing time for us to reach eternity. And if we are faithful, God said that if we are faithful, we will receive that crown of life that he has waiting for us. So let's remember that, brothers and sisters, and let us have Brother Akeem come on. I am very interested. Last week he left off at a very interesting spot, and I just can't wait to hear what he has to say this week. So thank you for listening, and thank you, Sister Stephanie, for opening the line.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Brother Rick, for that. And I'm going to open Brother Akeem's line, 301-640. Your line is now open.
All right, all right. Glad to be on once again, and thank you all for having me again this Sunday. As I cover this subject, I'll just share a few things that have happened. It's very so interesting, and I pray that each and every one of you will be blessed. So this evening we'll spend a few short moments going over the subject found in Isaiah chapter 58. And if you have your Bibles, you're just going to say a word of prayer and get right into it. Father in heaven, bless our minds and our hearts. And Lord, thank you for what Brother Rick shared as well. I pray, O Lord, that you will bless our minds to draw ever closer to you, to hold on to you for dear life, knowing that, Lord, soon you will send Jesus to deliver us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, so we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 58. Actually, you know where we'll start? We'll start in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. And Luke chapter 4, and we're going to go to something very interesting. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. And I still have to get back to a brother who called me after last week. You know who you are, brother. I'm soon to get back in touch with you. I'm sorry for the delay. But as we go into this message today, there's something that really blew my mind that I saw as I continued studying this in my devotions. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." As I look at this passage, I've been studying it. A resource I recommend to each and every one of you is called, it is not Adventist, but it is a powerful resource for the Greek and the Hebrew of certain terms and certain passages, commentaries on those passages. And it's powerful what I saw when I looked at the commentary and I looked at some of the things on this verse. If you look at verse 18, you have a few things. So Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And then it says, why? "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Now it's powerful because as you look at this verse, it's originally taken from the book of Isaiah chapter 61. But when you look at Isaiah chapter 61, there's a portion or there are a few portions of the text that are not in Isaiah 61 that Jesus actually quotes in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. And this really blew my mind. I was wondering, man, where is he pulling it from? So when it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives," that is in Isaiah 61, verse 1. But when it says, "Recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised," that is not in Isaiah 61. And so as we look at this, we're going to find out this evening, where was Jesus pulling from, at least for the last part. Maybe next week we'll cover where he got recovering of sight to the blind. That's actually found in the book of Psalms. But when we look at Isaiah chapter 58, it's very interesting. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 61 first. Isaiah chapter 61, and we're going to look at this here, verse 1. It says there, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the good tidings," that's the gospel, "to the meek," that's the poor, that's the lowly. "He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives," right? But then notice this, it says, "and the opening of the prison to them that are bound," right? "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That's the beginning of verse 19 of Luke chapter 4. So notice this, it says, "the opening of the prison to them that are bound." But in the book of Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, "to set at liberty them that are bruised." So there's a difference there. It's very interesting. We're going to find out what the difference is. In Isaiah, it says to open the prison gates, right, for them that are bound. But notice, just because you open the prison gates doesn't mean that a person will necessarily come out of the prison. There's something extra that has to be done. And this is powerful because, as we touched on last week, Jesus is preaching this in churches that are corrupt. He's preaching this in a synagogue where, if you read Desire of Ages, they were teaching the people the wrong concept of the Messiah. But Jesus went right into the midst of those churches, spending times not only in the streets, not only in nature, but as you read in multiple places of the Gospels, it shows us that he spent time in the synagogues. Powerful. Don't forget that, because we found out last week the parallel to that in our day is that God is showing us that just like he had the Jewish people as his chosen people back then, so does God have a movement, a visible church. Just as he had a visible movement in the Jews back then, a visible church back then, and outside of that visible church into which he was trying to call everyone because he had given them great light, greater than all the peoples of the earth, God also has an invisible movement, right? It's scattered throughout all the nations. It has always been this way. That's why you can have the wise men coming to Jesus when he was a child. Because these people were in the, they were in a sense the hidden movement, you could say it this way, the hidden remnant. The people scattered all over the face of the earth that were seeking to follow the Lord according to the light that they had. But God has always had a visible remnant, a people that had the greater light than the remnants that were scattered across the face of the earth. And so in that time, it was the Jewish nation. In our day, it is the Seventh-day Adventist movement, a movement that has been blessed with greater light than the majority of the world, than the rest of the world, actually. And hence, we are told what Joseph was and what Daniel was to the people of their time, the Seventh-day Adventist church is called to be in our day. Why? Because we have greater light. Not that we're greater than anybody else, but that we have greater light. We are superior in that sense. Not in the sense of our makeup, not in the sense of, oh, we're better than anyone else. But no, friends, we are superior in the sense of the facilities, in the sense of the truths that we have been given. And that superiority should humble us. It should cause us to realize we're not better than anyone, but we are superior in the sense of the caliber of truth that we have been given. And so in light of this, God says, I want to give you a message to give to the nations. And so as we look at this now, friends, we're going to see this. So Jesus Christ now says, in light of this truth, I have to bring this truth to the people. Because they're steeped. The people that have the oracles of God have been deceived concerning the way to interpret those oracles. Hence, we understand that from history, the Jews thought the first coming of Christ would be like the second, that he would free them from all physical oppression. But they didn't even realize that they were in bondage to sin. That the first work of the Messiah in his first coming would be to liberate them from sin before he freed them from any oppressive physical enemies. And so in light of the church being in that state, being taught error, the church at that time was in a state of corruption and apostasy. But where did Jesus go? Right into the very synagogues that made up the Jewish community. In the same way, friends, God is saying to us, our work is not to separate and form churches separate from the organized body, but it is to go into those churches and to be part of the ministries. Find churches. If you say, well, Akeem, this church plays drums and it's blasting all over the place. Okay, if you can't handle that, go to a place where there isn't. Friends, I assure you, there are organized churches if you would look for them. That friends, while they may not have everything together, and believe it or not, we who may think we're all together, friends, God is still correcting us. Go to those churches. Study your Bibles. Don't depend on the minister to be fed each Sabbath. If you get a great sermon, praise the Lord. But don't depend on the minister. Go in your Bible in the spirit of prophecy and humility and study the Bible for yourself. The very thing that we are accusing Sunday churches of, we ourselves are doing. In what way? We're depending upon the minister for the bread. But God is saying, no. While the minister should bring rich stores out of the word of God each Sabbath, if it doesn't happen, you've already been feeding yourself during the week. And so you go to the church not in pomp and pride, as if to say, I'm coming here to teach you all. But friends, go in humility. Serve the people as Christ served the people. Become involved in ministry there. And then I assure you, the opportunity will come. And when it comes, be humble. And when it comes, teach the people as Christ taught the people. And what does inspiration tell us? Christ taught the people as they were able to bear it. Friends, I have seen places where people get opportunities. They see a new soul coming to the church. I saw it even this past Sabbath. And they sit down with them and they go through the first, the second, the third angel's message, everything about secret societies, the Illuminati, the Jesuits, the Freemasons, unloading on them thing at once. Friends, be patient. When you get an opportunity, teach the people as Christ taught them. And what does inspiration tell us about Christ? It says that Christ taught the people as they were able to bear it.
as they were able to bear it. He didn't go overboard and try to teach them the whole compendium of truth in one setting, in one meeting. Focus upon Christ and Him crucified, the righteousness of God, the only hope of salvation, and integrate one or two points of truth and leave it there, that an opportunity may be open for you again. You see, when you unfold everything at once, you lose an opportunity because people think, I don't think I'm going to go back to this guy. Or other people watch that and they're like, man, this guy is too much. This woman is too much. But if you focus upon one point of truth, take a short period of time and teach a person or a group of people if the opportunity comes, then they will know, okay, this person is a person who respects people's time. This person is a person who gets right to the point. But this person is a person who is tactful. And they don't choose everything all at once. And I know the reason why many choose all at once. Because they're listening to preachers in these self-supporting churches who choose to teach 2,000 topics in one sermon. And so you know what happens? As the people behold that, that's what they become like. And they do the very same thing. Why? Because they're studying the preacher. They haven't gone to the books like evangelism. They haven't gone to the books like ministry of healing and look at how Jesus taught the people and try to allow Jesus to refine their own personality instead of copying someone else. Friends, don't get me wrong. When we come into the church, God understands that we may look up to someone because we're just coming in. We may have to copy someone for a time. But what God expects is that as time goes on, we will learn to copy Jesus. Friends, I tell you, His way of doing things will irk the very men that some of us look up to. It will cause people to wonder, why isn't He bringing it all at once? Why? Because I have studied the Master. Friends, as Jesus did His work, He ministered to people not only by preaching, but it says here He also healed the brokenhearted. And you know what that tells me? That tells me that Christ was one who encouraged others. He strengthened them. He encouraged them. I have a friend of mine even now. One of the things that he's struggling with, he's a serious marijuana smoker, smoking weed each and every day. And he looked at me and he says, Pastor, he says, I don't know if I'll ever be able to overcome this. And I said to him, and this was after an emergency situation happened, and he got 3 days of sobriety. And I looked at him and I said what Jesus said. And there is a moment when inspiration tells us that there were people who came to Jesus and they were going through a hand-to-hand struggle with sin. And you know what Jesus would tell them? He would have choice words for them, and then He would tell them this: I assure you, you will win. Wow. That's found in the ministry of healing. He would assure them that they would win. When's the last time we encouraged someone that had an addiction problem? To give them hope that you will win. It will take everything in you. It will take probably cutting off different things and forming systems around yourself to hold yourself accountable. It will take getting into the Word of God more and into prayer more. But I know you will win. And as I told him this, friends, his heart was encouraged to keep fighting the fight of faith. And so Jesus healed the brokenhearted. That is, He healed, He spoke words of strength and encouragement to those whose hearts were crushed. But not only was His work a work of preaching and healing, but in the way that He ministered in that preaching and healing, the Bible says He set men at liberty. And what is the word liberty? What is another word for the word liberty? Freedom. That means, contrary to what many of you may have heard, and I covered this subject last Sabbath because I heard it for years and I was wondering, man, maybe I shouldn't do that. And I'll be very apprehensive about doing it. But I will hear many a present true preacher, and that's why we have to study Jesus more than listening. I'm not saying don't listen to sermons. That's part of spiritual growth. Friends, go to Jesus and learn His methods. Because Jesus believed, contrary to many a present true preacher,
that to make someone free is the same as setting them free. You hear many preachers saying, and I was one of them, saying, you would hear a congregation, you would say, what does John 8:32 say? And they would say, and I would say it to them, I would say, one time I made a mistake, and some make the mistake, they say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I've had preachers, I've seen preachers, oh my friends, that we may look away from men to Jesus. I've seen preachers, and I was one of them, that would say, that's why you need to study your Bible more. It is make men free, not set them free. I would get upset at the people. And friends, God had to change me, and he brought me to the book of Luke chapter 4, and the end of verse 18, where it says, to set men at liberty. That is, to set men free. Do you see it? So while John chapter 8 and verse 32 says, make men free, we see that in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, it is the same as setting men free. That's why we have to study for ourselves, to be able to see what Jesus says, more than what any minister says. For Jesus believes that in order to make a man free, what it means is, according to Luke 4:18, it says to set at liberty. That means to set at freedom, to set one free, right? To set one free who is crushed, who is bruised, who is oppressed, right? Now look at this. It's very interesting. Look at Jesus' ministry. He not only preached, he not only opened the prison doors, according to Isaiah 61. But friends, you can open a prison door and a man not realize or a woman not realize that they are free. And the children of Israel, they were brought into the wilderness, and as they were brought into the wilderness, every trial that came to them, they always wanted to go back to bondage. Why? Because their minds had never come out of bondage. You see that? So what God's work was in the wilderness, this is what he was trying to teach the children of Israel, and he's trying to teach us. It is not enough to set a person free physically unless you can set them free mentally. That's what God was trying to teach Israel in the wilderness, to free them from mental bondage. He had liberated them physically, but the thing is, they were still imprisoned in their minds. And so through the trials and the hardships, he was trying to teach them to come out of that prison in their minds. And there are many that are walking around like that today, friends. Many that they may have become a Seventh-day Adventist. They may have embraced the doctrines, but friends, it was merely an intellectual assent to the truth. They have not truly experienced an experimental knowledge. That is, to experience the truth and to live it in freedom. And so what does Jesus desire to do? He not only desires to open the gates of the prison, as it says in Isaiah 61, but he desires to set men free. And what does it take? Exactly what God did in the wilderness. He did not only liberate Israel into the wilderness, but through trials, he was trying to reset their minds. And that's what it takes to set a man or a woman free. It takes the resetting of the mind so that we can actually believe that we are free in Jesus Christ. And so this is why, upon further study, I began to realize, where is Jesus then getting the latter part of Luke chapter 4 and verse 18? To set men at liberty, because Isaiah only says to open the gates of the prison, not to set men free. In other words, to release them, to bring them out of the prison, to cause their minds to believe, I can literally walk out of here. Empower them to walk out. Where is he getting this? Not by coincidence. As I was studying this, I realized it was from Isaiah 58 and verse 6. It says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, right? So, and then it says to undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed, that is the prisoner, go free. That is the statement. When you look at that word let, to let the oppressed go free, and you look at the New Testament word set, to set at liberty, you realize it's the same word. It is the word to send away empowered. That's what the word means. God has taken the responsibility not only to open the prison doors, but to empower men and women, sending them away in freedom. That is powerful, friends. And this is the work that has been given to the church, by the way, because Isaiah 58 is for the church. We are literally told, this is very interesting, I read this statement yesterday, actually. Read this statement yesterday, or I didn't get to, but I want to read it to you all. This statement is found in the book Welfare Ministry. Powerful statement. And the original place is in Manuscript 7, 1908. It says, I have been instructed to refer our people to the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Read this chapter carefully and understand the kind of ministry that will bring life into the churches. The work of the gospel is to be carried by means of our liberality as well as our labors. When you meet suffering souls who need help, give it to them. When you find those who are hungry, feed them. In doing this, you will be working in the lines of Christ's ministry. The Master's holy work was a benevolent work. Let our people everywhere be encouraged to have a part in it. And this is why we ever have to look upon Jesus. Because many of the ministries that we are looking at are ministries that will get up there and they will expose the Illuminati and the Jesuits. Every sermon is something about secret societies and some specific individual who's failing and some specific church's failures. While at the same time, when it comes time to feed the hungry, when it comes time to help the poor, when it comes time to support the organized church of God, when it comes time to give of their resources, and many of these ministers, they're taking the tithe from the people instead of giving it to the very place that Ellen White said that it should go. Friends, oh my friends, it's no wonder we are told that the proclamation of the gospel alone will never end the work. We can preach about secret societies and preach against the papacy all day long. And friends, don't get me wrong, there is a work that we must preach against Rome. But friends, you could do that until your lungs give up. The work will not end until there is a practical work of service toward other people. That there is a practical work in Christ's line to go out and to speak encouragement to others. To be a medical missionary in bringing healing to others in the application of God's remedies. To visit the poor and the sick and the needy. To find homes for the orphan, as we are told in inspiration. Once this work is done, as I mentioned a few months ago, once this work is done, then what will happen is that things will speed up in the world and the limit of God will be reached. The limit of God is reached in this world when he has a people that are perfect in service toward others. A people that do not only preach the gospel, but they are, by the power of Christ, setting men at liberty, making them free, empowering them to live lives of holiness, to help those who are afflicted, to help those who have addictions, to help those, friends, that are going through hard times. Friends, that is a hard work. It is easy to get up in the pulpit and to bash the LGBTQ community. But how many of us are willing to practice Christ's method alone and come beside a brother and a sister that are part of that community and mingle with them in places that are appropriate and minister to them and show them that we love them rather than choosing the first way of operation to be condemnation? Oh, my friends. And if you are doing that work, praise God. Friends, if we are not, And may we realize that it is not just others that need the truth, but we need it. We, among present truth, need to be taught. To not just learn, but to relearn. And to give up certain methods that we might adopt Jesus' method. I pray that this makes sense. And I pray as I speak to you, I am speaking to myself. For God has been rebuking me on these points. This is why I bring it to the people. But I pray, friends, that we see that we must work in Christ's lives. And to come away at some point from all that we have been watching and begin reading and studying the light of Scripture and the amplification of that light in the writings of God's messenger, Ellen White. Father in heaven, I pray that this made sense to the people. I pray, O Lord, that as you have shown it to me, that, Lord, that it made sense to others. And I thank you, O Lord, for your chastening to me, that, Lord, I may learn to follow Jesus and to allow my personality that he does not eradicate to be refined and adapted to his own way of working while maintaining my individuality. This is the beauty of it, Lord, that each and every one of us has an individuality that you do not eradicate, but you refine, that it looks more like Jesus, yet unique in that you have given us certain people that only we can reach with our individuality. Do this work in us, O Lord. Help us to not only have an intellectual assent, but a spiritual assent to the truth. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Brother Akeem, for the message for today. Thank you so much, Brother Rick, for the ram in the ticket. I had the opportunity of physically meeting Brother Akeem, and that sermon that you preached last week, I ran with it, and I was telling everybody, did you know that Judas was the son of Simon? I learned something new every day, and I was like a little child in the candy store, and I thank you so much for this scripture, this message for today as well. And so as we come to a close, I think we might have a minute or two. I don't want the line to close out on us. Thank you again for your participation. If there's any query, any commentary, or any question that you may have for Brother Akeem or Brother Rick, you can certainly raise your hand, and I will definitely open your line if there's something that you wanted to ask or to just bring out, or, you know, a point that was mentioned. I'll try this line, 272-770, just to see, and then we will close. Thanks again, and we look forward in seeing you next Thursday for the Health Thursday as well, 272-770. Your line is now open.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Sister Stephanie. This is Sister Tainiko, and I truly understand what you're saying, Brother Akeem James. I am also trying to help those who are homeless to find a place to live and to give resources. Whatever resources that I have, I will give it to them to help them apply for shelter so they do not have to live out in the streets. So that's what I'm doing presently, and I thank God for helping me and thanking the Holy Spirit for leading and guiding me to help me to do this, because I cannot bear these burdens alone. I need the help of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for that. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Tainiko, for sharing that. We are to, as that was my takeaway, be able to share the spirit of Christ with everyone that we come in contact with. So thanks again, Brother Akeem, for this message that you have brought today. And thank you so much again, Brother Rick, and everybody that participated. We appreciate you. And so I'll just close again with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this message. We pray that it will have an indelible mark within our hearts and within our lives, and we will take it as we move this week, Lord. We pray that you will allow your light to shine through us so that everyone that come in contact with us can see your character, your loving, your kindness, your grace, and your mercies. that you have bestowed onto us. We will be able to share it to others. We bless your name. We give you honor, glory, and praise, and we pray that we will leave here being changed, Lord, through these words. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Yeah.
All right, and so I will see you. Start with this song. I told you this is my new best song, and it just uplift me. And we will close with this song, Dependable God. And I pray that you will hold on to these words that you heard, the scriptures that were shared with you, the testimonies, and you will continue to pray for the individuals that have asked you to pray in your prayer closet as well, and hold on to these words. Amen and amen. Dependable God. Amen.
Dependable God. It doesn't matter what comes my way, you are still God. Intentional, intentional God. Everything is working out for my good. It doesn't matter what comes my way, you are still God. Effort, intentional, intentional God. Everything is working out for my good. You love me too much, oh, too much, oh, too much, oh, excess love, oh, you love me too much, oh, you love me too much, oh, excess love.
Right. Good night, beloved. birthday? You still on your birthday stuff?
No, we're finished. I was trying to contact because we wanted to celebrate Kwanzaa, but I said we kind of late of letting her know.
Okay.
I planned something for her.
Okay,
but,
got you, yeah. Yeah, Sister Leola called me and she was like, she's gonna cancel the line because she's getting all her tax ready. I was like, why are you canceling the line? You know what I mean? I was like, well, I don't understand. You know. Yeah, she said she was gonna. This is her night to host the Advent Light Ministry line, and she's gonna say she's gonna cancel because she's getting all her stuff for the taxes. I was like, what? I said, why would you cancel the line? I'm not understanding. And you know what I mean? I said, I mean, you couldn't ask me if I, you know what I mean? And I know my mother wouldn't let nobody cancel the line because you got to do your taxes, get papers together. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was like, you know what? I'll do it. I'll open the line, you know what I mean? And then the guest speaker didn't come on until almost 8:40. I'm like, so, I mean, I'm on there. You know me. The other elder was on there. I said, Elder, I don't know if you're going to be the ram in the ticket. Do you have, you know, can you get, you know, some scriptural sermons together so that we could, you know, move and you know, go past time? And he did a good job. He did Job. I was like, bless God. I'm talking to her, and I'm like, when is this guy coming on? She's going to tell me, great. I'm like, when is the guy coming on? I was like, are you kidding me? Girl, I'm not paying Sister Leola no mind. I'm not.
They sent out
W-2s. I got mine.
I didn't get mine yet.
It probably went. Don't you go to your post box?
We checked it.
Okay, yeah, mine came. When did I get in the mail? I think I got in the mail yesterday. Not yesterday. No, I'm sorry. I think Friday or Thursday, something like that. No, but Sister Leola doing her own thing. I'm not paying Sister Leola any mind. My point is, you going to put your taxes in front of the commitment that you have to do God's work. I'm not going to fuss with you. I'm not fussing with you. Oh, hold on. I'm not fussing with you, girl. I fill in when I can. Hey, baby K.
Hey, how do?
How are you?
Good. I went to see the lady, and she said she only thinks that it's white enough.
Oh.
Thinking the little sequiny things on the sole at the bottom.
Yeah.
It's beginning to
get yellow.
Turn color, she says.
Got you.
You can pick up on the light. But she said, like, we have the meeting on Friday. She says, look, I'm not on the, you know, committee now. I don't have the final say. She said, you could take it to them and see if, you know. But based on her saying, because when she brought out, like, a white, fabric.
It doesn't look white.
Then you see that before that it looked white.
But when it comes to
whiter white,
yeah.
Then,
and they're gonna give you, they're gonna give you a white fabric.
Yeah, they gave me the swatch.
So did you match it?
Trying to make it even whiter.
But I'm saying, did you match it towards the dress?
Girl, I don't know where that swatch is. She showed us like a plain satin dress she made for somebody, and that one, she said, started at $400. It didn't have any, you know, like this sequin thing to jump out at you. But I saw a lovely dress. She had a blue dress, short, not to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that was her dress. But girl, I said, that in white to the floor would be awesome.
And so what did she say that
so,
was?
I to sing on. So she said, well, Sunday when I went to the meeting, asked them about the bottom. But I'm feeling like if she's saying that and looking at the other thing, likely it's going to be a no.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Right, so we need a plan in between.
Yeah, exactly. So I asked her, you know, I reached out, sent her message, text, whatever, saying, hey, you know.
So did you make her take her measurement?
No, she didn't. She said, come back on Sunday. She said, Sunday would be, you know, she said, let her know by then, like right.
Yeah, I still would have made her take the measurement just so she had the measurement. You don't have to go back. She already had the measurement for her. You could kind of, like, she could send you pictures of, you know what I mean, different dresses.
She wouldn't even let her, because I went there to put the dress on with her, she wouldn't even let her put it on.
Because she said, so, hey, you had to take her.
Yeah, so
yeah.
She said,
because when I was looking at it, I told you, it looked kind of yellow to me. When I was looking on the picture, right, I said it looked like it had some yellowish tint to it to
me. Yeah, we thought up at the top, but see, we thought the skirt part was black. We thought the part up at the top, but she's saying, look, the whole...
And they are very particular, girl, because at one point in time, they even wanted to get Kaja with her, because she had, with her sleeve, she was saying that the sleeve wasn't white enough.
Wasn't white,
yeah, she called Beverly and told Beverly, you know, her sleeve wasn't white. I was like, what are you talking about? They are very particular. But we did it. I mean, it wasn't going to change. It was the thing. So then after she called, then because what Beverly called, Beverly was like, wait a minute, how y'all let these people come in with their back on this? She going to tell Beverly. But I think, you know how people, she going to tell Beverly was Carter's dress, the sleeve wasn't white enough. And it was a flesh tone. I was like, yeah, I was like, let me tell you, girl, bye.
Damn it. Let me see. But I'm a, I asked her, like I said, reached out to her and I said, that blue dress I saw on your mannequin, I said, how much would it cost me if you made that in white to the floor?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would have that as an option.
Okay.
I also stopped at David's Bridal. And again, because you can't find the stuff, I have to really start thinking. By the time you start doing adjustments, it's ridiculous.
But that's what I'm saying to you. My advice to you, I'm going to be honest, because you're going to be running around. I would just commit to her and say, you know what? I want you to make a dress. Give me whatever. You're something. How much you cost? Charge me. Da-da-da-da-da, whatever. I think this is where you need to be. Because you're going to be running, and time is going to be on you. Because your dress is not going to be the only dress she's going to be sewing.
She said she already had, like, five.
That's what I'm saying.
She needs to know.
That's what I'm saying. So she could get the fabric and all of that stuff. That's what I'm saying. She. A lot of people go to her. And so not only that, she's also going to be doing alteration, and she's going to be making dress for the mothers that are going to be going. So that's why I said, you know, you want to make sure.
Did she make
a dress for you, too? No, I ordered my dress because, girl, Miss Pia Fakaja dress, man, ain't going to make no dress to me. You know what I mean? Because it really wasn't, I mean, I had a dress.
Pia Fakaja's dress.
I'm trying to make, I think it probably was about over $500.
See?
I think, but I mean. But here's what I did though. I pay over time. So what I did when I first go, I gave her $150 deposit. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So and each time I go, I pay. So by the time it didn't seem like it was fine. You see what I'm saying? Because I pay over the time. So I didn't pay one time.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So that's what I did.
I should just say look, man, because it's gonna be hard to find something that's gonna fit.
Exactly, and you're gonna have to tailor. Absolutely.
Like
in some
like that, because I saw something at David's Bridal. Again, it has a train that you would have to take the train
up and,
you know, all that kind of
thing. Yeah, that's how I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carter's dress was over $500, but it didn't seem like it to me because I pay each time I go.
You
see, right, so by the time the dress,
if she works with you like that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Every time I go, I always put on like $150, and so by the time, you could do that with her, and by the time you went and got the dress, she said, oh, you're done. You see what I'm saying? I was paid for it because each time I go, I would give something. You see what I'm saying? And then she was like, no, you don't owe me any money.
We really just have February and March, and the event is April.
When is the deadline for the money for the book thing gone already?
We have to get it. By, when I go to the meeting on
Okay, well, me give him my money. Come, me get my little check. Me give him my money. Me give him my fund.
So we're compiling that. We have to send them that with the thing. And then I guess they can put it Ruby Pearl, whatever, and they say, you know, people's spelling and how they want to be listed.
Okay.
Or, yeah, if you want to Mr., Mrs., Ms., you know, whatever. And then you can tell me how you did. Like you said, they'll listen for the other one.
Yeah, because I did a $500 page, and I just add, like, let's say you want what's her name, Zanita and the other sister, whatever.
Well,
I mean,
Zanita, they did theirs on they did as well.
Right, but what I'm saying to you, listen,
yeah.
You could still, you have the flexibility to clump those money and tell them that you want it as a $500 page. You see what I'm saying? So let's say five of my family gave me $100, and I want that to be one $500 page. I just do a $500 page and say, you know, Malia, we wish you the best. Congratulations from Auntie Steffi, Sophie, Debbie, whatever, whatever.
Oh.
That's what I did.
So even though, let's say, Zanita and her best friend went and did it all.
You're going to write it up. You're going to write it up. You are at the end. You got to write it up in yourself how you want it. So I'm going to say on there, that's what I did for mine, but you got to be creative. Don't be asking them nothing. You just have to be creative and say a gold page, and these are the names, but you can't count it. If you're going to put it for their $500 page, you can't put it for pearl and diamond. You can only count it once.
As one.
You see what I'm saying? So you add up all the stuff, and you get a $500 page.
But if you do that $500 page, that means she won't get that money towards her scholarship.
What are you talking about? It goes exactly to her scholarship. All the money she gets go to her scholarship, yes.
Oh, I thought that was separate. Like,
no, all of the money go to her scholarship. Every single money she gets, that $500 is another tier. That $500 come under the goal. And I think it's the goal or platinum, whatever it is. And she get that paid. She gets every money. So the $500, yeah, Mr. Kaja, I'd like what? Because I had a bunch of like $500 PH. And that money goes, all the money where she get goes into her scholarship. The only thing they're going to take is whatever percentage out of the pool of the money.
3%.
But that $500 is already locked down for that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's how I did it. I ain't to let them tell me how to do myself. I did it like that. So, like, I had her grandmother, two of her grandmother put money together. Her auntie, her great aunt,
okay, so
and they put money together, and that was $500.
Canadians, like,
yeah, and I just said
550. I could do a 500 page and just list, like, they list those three over there.
Right, just say, you know, congratulations, Malia, from your auntie. What? And if you have a picture of her and Malia. You see what I'm saying, of them and Malia or whatever, you want to put a picture of Malia or a picture of them, whatever, whatever. But you got to be creative because sometimes they give people a hard time that is not from Brinklow. Because when I went back and looked in the book, they were giving me a hard time for my picture the way I want it. And then I looked at the other people and I was like, you gave them all of these leeway, but you didn't give us those things. You know what I mean? So, So that's what I did.
Sandra was telling me that she was saying when... Even like she said, as soon as it opened up, she's like, you got to get them tickets. Because she said, them Brinklow people, they put their people at the front or something like that. Table,
and put you down to the back and stuff.
The back or whatever. So she said, you got, you know, and of course they say it's first come, first serve.
But I don't believe that. They do whatever they want to do for real.
See?
They you know, because that's how many ever put her in that place too.
It works. She said, yeah, they said, they, you know, you can't reserve, you can't. Whatever, but she said you want to be as close to your person's table as possible. So they're saying, yeah, you have to just go on and do it. But she said, yeah, they put who they want.
Yeah, because I look and stuff, and even when she said, oh, you can only have this many, I'm going to look, I'm going to say, then, oh, tell me that I only have whatever. And I was trying to split my, you know, create my, oh, you can't do that. She was so, and she's a Jamaican, Joan Barr. May I have to tell her? May I have to tell her? I'm going to say, you get on my nerves. Joan Barrow is the one. She does the journal. I have to go over her head many times and go to the other Jackie.
Is she still there?
I think she's still there. She's the one that's going to be doing the journal. And I always said to her, I said, you know how they go out like they organize. And I said, first of all, if you've been doing this for so many years, you should be able to tell parents that the journal is going to cause you a rage, right? So
yes,
it can cause
they
you.
Can't tell us
they can. come on, you could give an estimate. They can charge you anywhere. That's because let me tell you why. The only reason why you can, because they're not being truthful and upright with the money. You see what I'm saying? Because if you've been doing it for years, you can say, even say, well, last year it cost us this. However, the price may change depending how many pages each child has. Right? Yeah.
The quality of the journal.
It was good. I'll show it to you. I'll take a picture and show it to you. Hold on. Hey, Mother. Mother.
Yes, my dear girl.
How is your foot?
Oh, it's all right. That's all. I'm ready
to know. Oh, did you work out?
Wonderful, girl.
Okay, good.
You see? You
get a party line? Hold on. I'm going to tell Jean Marie me a call about. Jean, may I call it back here?
All right, don't worry.
But it's good. It's black and white, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's black and white, but it's okay. I mean, it's okay. You know what I mean?
The leaves don't fall.
No. It's bound to good. That was my issue with her. I'm like, you should, if I'm doing something for you, I should be able to tell people, it in the past, it has cost from $300 to $500, but just know that's an estimate because it depends on how much pages each children is going to commit to. You see what I'm saying? That's all you have to say. Give people an idea. So you know, say, okay, it can be between three. But anytime you want to manipulate the money, because they don't tell you up front how much money exactly. So they have to keep it, make it like you don't know. So when your money come out, them can say, oh, we use it towards the journal. Come on, now, back. Girl, me call you back.
I'm telling you.
All right,
okay,
bye-bye.
Yeah,
hey, Mother.
Yeah, is back?
Yeah, I'm back. One more.
Yeah, Mrs. This is about awesome, God, sir.
Amen.
God promised that he will never leave us. We just have to be faithful.
Amen.
God promised him will protect, him will provide. Him is the only thing he can do up here. This morning, you saw when you organize the thing with the Lord, you plan to do a thing. You know what? God wants you to follow the plan, you know, and trust him. This morning, from all long now, we are making arrangements with him. Brown man, I want to work together. This morning, Mrs. Stuff, when we're ready, me no bury a go, me no elevator a go, and so we can be even doing now when he says, may I tell you the truth? Even doing now when he tells me for last week, auntie, I will drive. He's not active like drive and come out of the car.
Right, but he can't ride because he can't do that. He's just a driver. You can't expect him to go work.
No, I mean,
but he's just like a driver. I mean, he doesn't know that he's the driver.
Barry, is a way of a gift. Which I didn't mean money was, I didn't miss. Because the work that she do is the miss of God. She do it. Anyhow, we reach on the road when Maria tells me, up near football rock hall. So I say, all right, come with me go on at night. I'm going here, go on
civic.
And civic say, go fetch me to civic if you can't fight with me or have any friend who do miss the work. So come me here.
So mama, want to Robert?
I don't know, Robert said that to mom. In my office, I think to do. That's all I've been to do. Let me just have to tell you what that is. Anyhow, my dear girlfriend, me go around there. So Philly said, early, yes, one, me, I have a little friend of mine, so I want to here we go. Me and my Troy, I'll go to my Troy and Troy, come up. And we talk, Mr. Troy is a volunteer work this today. And, you know, somebody was promised to come with me. And then said they're not coming. And me would have really liked to have a meet though. You know, you just tell me, you come where you were in charge. That's volunteer work. So the guy turned and then said, $7,000, right?
So finish up where we start. Okay. And at the end of the day, we're not in a fire, so there's nothing we can do right now. Mama, you have billion thing in a car. You can't probably go use him for Rosie. Robert, them too much. Women, I see why you do so much for Sunday, so much.
Look at Steffi, you little man. All when back of them go pack up things. They pick me and walk same way when the business with the choice. We say, you know, like a part. He say, yes, he ready to do it, but them pack up. And then he say to them, on a foot map too, we'll blow that thing for the up the sun and do it. Let me just finish this. Right? And the boy, the young man, Percy, me I tell you, he's a talk.
Well, so he worked more than the $7,000 then.
Of course, Percy. Can I tell you, girl? The man who walked on and surely attended at the time we have this thing then because the child man come and we have the machine where they could have get the cleaning to borrow them, we clean up the place, you know, like where them go to the one, is what we're going to call it. The mess with us clean up his girlfriend, if you the work, Stephanie. So, Mr. Troy, you definitely see me, you know? He said, yes, as long as I am not working, it's good to help people. And I feel so good today that I was able to come with you, know? He said, I am blessed. So, can you come on, sir?
Hey, Alex was there to video it.
Yes, man, in the day, yeah, in the day. You know, girlfriend, if you see the work set, Marie, Lord Almighty, girl, met table for them outside, and
And because, right, and you can't go. Right, to stop your show.
You will go, you and me just say, me now go. You understand what I mean? Me now go. Me say, boyfriend, all the work when you come, feed me, where to work. All it means, and it would have been steady, but you know, in a dry. You understand?
Got you.
It could have been. But it's not dry. So that is the only thing is there to complete the our part, the house. The when we leave, the man say, I'm not thinking about my put in the shop too. When the room actually finished, I think what happened, baby, with one of the boys say, come there, come here, grandma. I love you. I have to ask you this question. When you were growing up, did you do construction? Lord of mercy, Christ and mercy.
Tell him to your father and sisters and brothers.
Me say, me love my grandson when me just see my father, my brother.
Brother them, I'm a great, my niece, my nephew. My nephew, I'm a grandnephew.
Everybody do construction, Papa. We know about construction. This boy said, I know. Because what I see you do, an instruction that you are getting, listen, boy, the man said, let me tell you, if people should be like you. Look at your age. I do after your age. But look at your age and what you have been doing. That are the Tyler there, you know. Then say, boy, I love you.
Yeah, me tell you, that's what the people them say. The people them I say, you know, when Sister Powell, Grandma come with our team, them neat. Them say them neat and they don't charge you no whole bunch of money. And yeah, that's what the comments say.
You know, me say, Steffi, if me that they come boy, so me tell him, I say you dey come with team, you know, Papa. You dey come with team, you know. Because I don't understand you going to tell somebody that you're going to say that I know they. You understand? They can't complete and you are going to tell Marie that oh no, maybe getting a more, little more that way.
But you can't get the blessing, right? You can't get blessing. You can't get the blessing.
So, Maria tell them, I have voluntary work. You can't get a little more, yeah?
But God, I got poor on. Yeah, God, I got blessing even more for this.
My God. It was good, girlfriend. Yeah, I tell you, everything went down. We reached here, you know. Everything, may I tell you, God, find them to Jesus when the stove is coming over, they go cook, you know.
Okay.
So we have stove inside, cook, a car, but we make a table for them outside, and I have a table car, wash up and wash them plates fun, you know, the little boy, baby. One big drain of milk. When I use it, I wash those. I do all the evening. I say, few times I use it. I may carry it. I may show boy in law. Carry one of the buckets to them to put them like the rice or flour sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one of that for them. You know, I am telling you, girlfriend. Very neat, I don't clean up our ourselves. You know. You know, me can't tell you something. I go through the evening. Every night, week, and you have a ride. You know, you can't go with Africa. No, only for man, but right now, baby, we just have to just hope that it will do. After that play style, them him said it. Because today, I was so material. And I trust in the future. Credit that. They say, yes, the people, them all you have to do, they will send. They will send it. Lucky you can get credit.
Yeah, Mama, we need to start about the kitchen. Because the people, they might talk about that.
Yeah, the kitchen never come, baby. We talk about that today. We talk about that. So we going to call those people who are interested in talking about the kitchen.
Yeah.
We look in a price, find out the same Troy. Then we talk to that, I tell you, Mr. Troy, you have a job already. A voluntary job, I know you're going to be blessed. You know, Barry and Donovan, there's a 2 day. There's a 2 day they can lock up that issue. You know, but we want a price of that, and you put it out to the FM and make them know it's going to pass this, and we have to look forward to this. What's it going to do, Mama? It's about to do, Red. It's about to do before me come up. It's about to do. It's about to do. Thanks for your concern. It's about to do, Mama. Yeah. So that is it. If you want to give problem to say, oh, yes, this video must put out it maybe tomorrow.
My day was good. Girl, your lady is something else. Sister Leola is something else. Them I got Sister Leola called me at 5 something, Mama. I call back Sister Leola. Don't get her. She called me back. I'm on the phone with the other lady. Call me back and say. What's she say? Oh, about the tax thing, you know, I'm gonna be canceling the line today because I'm going to be doing. She's getting going to do her taxes and getting her stuff to do taxes. First of all, Sister Lola said she's going to do the tax month tomorrow at the 31st. Mama, I send Sister Leola my farm when we use it. Sister Leola get all her stuff organized. Bottom line, that's neither here or there. I said to her, then why would you gonna cancel the land? I said, isn't Brother Akeem set to speak on the line or whatever? I said, Sister Leola, why are you gonna cancel the line just because you're gonna get your taxes? I said, really? I said, you could have asked me. I said, I will open the line. Mama, Brother O'Neill never, Brother Akeem didn't come on until 8:30, almost 8:40. How is it? I'm asking myself, what is in the format? Because my understanding is that at 8:15, prayer is supposed to be done by then, right? By 8:15, you're supposed to be coming on at 8:15. How is it you think somebody is going to be able, and I'm covering for them, to be able from 8:15, Mama, to 8:40? That's, how much is that? 8:15 to 8:30 is 15 minutes. To 8:40 is another what? No, another 25 minutes left. How is it you believe somebody's going to... So Brother Rick was on, praise God. Me just make him give a sermon it. And then when him come... Yes, Brother Rick was on. I said, Brother Rick, are you able to give... You know, and didn't hear them... are you able to, I know you're the Rami on the ticket.
Exactly.
I sure did. I said, are you able to pull on? No, it's last minute, but I didn't see him on and wait, take. Yes, I didn't come and pre and give Job. Brother Rick. Brother Rick came. Yeah, Brother Rick, I had to ask him. Because, I mean, you had to ask him. He was on, though. Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. At late, at about 8:35. Yeah, but Mama, when you get online and you press the number for come on and tell it, say, oh, we got to hurry up and make sure you talk because he has to come on. They full of it. They, I'm telling you, them think, I got to, you understand? I'm can't bother with them. You're going to do your taxes so you can't come on. And I don't know, Mama. Brother Ray told me that he was talking. Like he said, oh, I had a mini conference with Sister Carla and Sister Leola. You never know if both of them was trying to ask Sister Tamiko. Because Sister Leola is very sneaky. She does a lot of undermining behind the back stuff. You hear me? No, nobody didn't tell me anything. But Mama, them no want me to panic. So must say that's why it was, I don't know. They didn't tell me nothing.
And then she talked about the Louisiana. I said, yes, Louisiana. I think it's like